Hello and welcome to Centre Stage. Good to have you with us tonight. Tonight we are focusing on the Afghan-US security deal and the doubts still hanging over the issue in view of the fact that President Karzai has rejected US demand that the deal be signed as soon as possible. Stay with us. Welcome back. Tonight we're delighted to be joined by two guests in London. In our London studio is Mr. Spin Taney, journalist and analyst at BBC World Service. Mr. Taney, thank you for joining us.
Good morning. Thank
you, sir. And we also have the pleasure of being joined via Skype in London by Mr. Sarojuddin Isar, Afghan political analyst and a PhD researcher in political economy at London's School of Oriental and African Studies. Mr. Isar, it's a pleasure to have you join our program as well, sir.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be with you.
Okay, thank you. Before we get into our discussion proper, let's take a listen to our narration. Stay with us.
Afghan President Hamid Karzai has rejected the U.S. demand that Kabul sign the security deal between the two countries as soon as possible. A spokesman for Karzai has said the bilateral pact must wait until after next year's presidential election, even if it is approved by the Grand Assembly of Tribal Elders and the Parliament. The United States has repeatedly said it will not wait until after the April 2014 presidential vote to seal the agreement. Washington has rejected President Karzai's suggestion of the signing to take place next year. Karzai has accused the U.S. of not providing the country with military supplies in an attempt to pressure him to sign the controversial deal. The deal allows the U.S. to keep thousands of its troops in Afghanistan beyond the 2014 withdrawal date for foreign troops. Afghan activists say the security treaty between Washington and Kabul will pave the way for prolonged U.S. military presence in the war-ravaged country. Afghan political figures have also heaped scorn on U.S.-led forces for committing unforgivable crimes against Afghan women and children since invading the country in 2001. Thousands of Afghan civilians, including a large number of women and children, have been killed during night raids by foreign forces and CIA-run assassination drone strikes. The increasing number of casualties in Afghanistan has caused widespread anger against the U.S. and other NATO member states. Without an accord, the U.S. will have to pull out most of its troops by the end of 2014, like it did 2 years ago when it failed to negotiate a deal with Iraq.
Welcome back to Centre Stage. Mr. Taney, in our London studio, I'd like to start with you, if I may, sir. Would you please shed more light on this, on the Afghan-US security deal, and tell our viewers what it entails, please?
Sorry, I can't get you. I don't know. There is something going on with the mic. So can you repeat your question, sorry?
Yes, sir. Yes. I ask you to shed some light on the Afghan-US security deal and what it actually entails.
Well, as you know, the security deal between Afghanistan and the US, which called BSA, Bilateral Security Agreement between two countries, and negotiation on that security agreement is going on for about a year, and statesmen of both countries and diplomats, they were meeting several times in Washington and Kabul, and they eventually came to conclusion that this agreement is for better of the both countries, for America and for the for Afghanistan. But at the last moment there was some disagreement, and mostly there was impunity of American soldiers, and the judiciary process where It will apply to American soldiers if they committed crime in Afghanistan, where they will be actually tried. So this was one problem. The other one was the night raids that American forces in Afghanistan usually do, and this is the not satisfactory for the Afghan government and for the President Karzai and for Afghans in general. There were also prisoners that American should release the prisoners from Bagram, and they are not allowed to have prisons in Afghanistan themselves. And so what's happened was that for those things to be solved, the Afghan president decided that he needs to ask the Loya Jirga, it means that the Grand Assembly of Representatives of Afghanistan, and it was a consultative Loya Jirga, and Loya Jirga, about 2,500 tribal leaders and also statesmen from Afghanistan, they gather in Kabul and they approve, in a way, they give the green light for the agreement to be signed. But what President Karzai, by the way, the constitution in Afghanistan give the final word to the president, and president is the man who can say yes or no at the end of the day. So president decided that he is still not happy and not ready for this agreement to be signed for the few reasons. One was that he realized and he is convinced that Americans are the people who can bring security and peace to Afghanistan, and that's why he asked them that if you bring security and peace to Afghanistan, yes, I'm happy to sign it. And also the night raids that I mentioned, and few other things, that it must be applied to you. But American has their own conditions, and as you can see these days, this is a stalemate between Afghanistan and American government, that Afghanistan wants, the President Karzai wants to see the measurements from the Americans, and also he says that yes, it will be done, but the elections, again, President Karzai says that he has evidence of actually intervening in the presidential election, because what he believes that there was prediction by Americans that the election will be postponed for the second term, and that's why he came to conclusion that how America knows that election will be postponed, it means that they have plans to intervene in the election. So those are the all problems that both sides are arguing for it, and still we do not have agreement to be signed between two countries.
Thank you, Mr. Tani. Mr. Isar, could I have your thoughts on more or less the same issue, sir? Why this open opposition to this BSA deal, as it were, by certain quarters in Afghanistan, including the country's Senate chairman, Fazel Hadi Moslemyar, sir? Why is that the case?
I cannot hear you properly, particularly the last bit of your talk. What was about the Moslemyar thing?
Yes, yes. The question I put to you is, why is this, why is the open opposition, open disagreement to this BSA deal from certain quarters in Afghanistan, including many senators and the Senate chairman, Fazel Hadi Moslemyar?
Well, if I understand you properly, that why the state is taking negative position with respect not signing the agreement. Is that what you mean?
Yes, that's right.
Okay, I think first of all, we should not forget the fact that President Karzai has always been taking a very fluctuating position with respect to his decisions and points in the past. So it's not new, and Afghanistan, as well as during his term as the president of Afghanistan. So he has always been fluctuating with his decisions. Sometimes he was getting tense with the US or other NATO allies or other international allies, then he was taking kind of different position and relying with or calling for help. Some time ago, President Karzai said that if the US is
okay, we seem to have communications problems with our Skype and with the guest who's joined us via Skype in London. I'll go back to Mr. Tane in our studio. Spin Tane, What was Washington aiming to achieve? What is US after, both short-term and long-term, with this BSA, with this bilateral security agreement, sir?
Well, I believe American, they when they came to Afghanistan, when they intervened in Afghanistan, in a way, if you like, when they invaded Afghanistan, the aim was to eliminate Al-Qaeda and its supporting in Afghanistan, and does not give them chance again to attack Western's targets in America and also in other parts of the world, their allies. And this is the NATO objective, and it was the first time that after September the 11th, the NATO decided to take a military action for the its allies, and it was America. So that's why Americans, in the first place, they came to Afghanistan in order to Afghanistan not be a haven safe for terrorists. This was one thing. The other thing was that Afghanistan is geopolitically and strategically a very important country. And as you know, Central Asia, Iran and Pakistan and those countries, they are all important, not for Afghanistan as a neighbor, but also they are important for America to have, in a way, have relationship them or be in a position to control, in a way, the situation in the region. But what happened afterward, that Americans, they were not actually focusing on those targets, on those targets that they put before their hand, but also there were another problem, because the Taliban, as you can see, Taliban were regrouping, and their position, their strategic, their plans have changed, and also American were involved in a war that they were not expecting in that, you know, length of the time. So on other hand, if you can, you know better than me that no war in the world have definitely continue, and also all war in one and another way ended, and especially those kinds of war that in Afghanistan, they ends with the peace deals with the, let's say, insurgents or with the people who are not happy with the government. So that's why American are trying now to have a position that they can leave Afghanistan, but not in a way that Afghanistan will again become safe haven for terrorists. So those were the main objectives of America, and America also wants a ally, a strong ally and a partner in Afghanistan, and NATO wants the same thing from Afghanistan, that it is NATO's partner, but at least not enemy for the America and for its allies. So this land is not their enemy, but their friend, friendly country, whether this is Mr. Karzai's government or any other government in Afghanistan.
Mr. Taney, why is it that the U.S. has failed to achieve its goals of bringing peace and security to the Afghan nation? We're seeing the Taliban still ever present, ever strong. We're seeing the drug trade, the drug trafficking, much more than it used to be. So they've actually failed. So is that why they've actually wanted to go into Afghanistan in the first place?
Well, I indicated, their aim was not to fix the Afghan government. Their aim was to eliminate the threat from the Al-Qaeda, who were harboring in Afghanistan. In the Afghanistan regime at that time, Taliban, they gave harbor to the bin Laden and its allies. So that's why America decided that they have to eliminate this threat from Afghanistan. In that, they succeeded. And as you can see now, while they are American and while the Afghan security forces are standing on its feet, there are no threats from Afghanistan through the world. So this was the aim, the main aim of the American and its allies in Afghanistan. The second thing that you mentioned was that there, yes, there were problems and there are problems, and I believe there will be problems with the traffic dealers trafficking in Afghanistan. There will be problem in some way in a security in Afghanistan. But this, but on other hand, you can see that American now claim that they have brought security to Afghanistan. Now Afghanistan has 350,000 security personnel. And when the American came to Afghanistan, there was no army in Afghanistan. So now you have security in Afghanistan. There is no single province in Afghanistan that is in hands of opposition, I mean the armed opposition in Afghanistan. So that's why Americans claim that they have really achieved their goals in a way that they just eliminated the threat of Al-Qaeda, and also Afghanistan is not a safe haven for anymore for the terrorists. But on the other hand, they do recognize that there are problems in Afghanistan. There is, as you mentioned, drugs in Afghanistan, and also there is corruption, which is a big, big headache for international community and for the Afghan government, because it's been blamed for that for many years. And as you can see, the latest report that Afghanistan is again one of the country that is in the high list, I mean, in the top list of bureaucracy in the world.
That's right. Mr. Sarajuddin Issar, do we have you back online, sir?
Yes, okay. The problem
Issar,
is that
we were cut off as Mr. Issar, we were cut off as you were telling us about President Karzai's wavering decisions. You said that he had fluctuated in his decision-making process in the past. Please continue.
If I understand you properly, so why President Karzai is not standing to sign the agreement? Is that what you ask? Because I totally
yes.
do not hear you.
Yes. That's right, Mr. Issa.
Yeah, I was just saying that that it's not the first time that President Karzai is taking a fluctuating position. Mm-hmm. He has always, I wouldn't say he has always, but he has often been having a kind of fluctuating position with respect to his position, particularly with respect to his foreign policies, mainly which is associated with the countries or the state's relationship with the United States of America. And I was just saying that if you remember some time ago, when the relationship between the President Karzai as well as the Barack Obama Washington D.C. was getting tense, then the U.S. Then President Karzai started to oppose them quickly and saying that, well, if the U.S. is not to provide Afghanistan with all heavy weaponry, then they are going to be easily relying to China as well as to Russia. So, and then quickly that was resolved and his position was changed. And I think this is very true in a very recent time. Look at this consultative lawyer Jerga. That if you listen to President Karzai's opening speech, he seems to be warmly welcoming the delegates or those who he have invited from across the country to sign the agreement. So, but then at the concluding speech, then he gives a different position and says that he is not ready to sign the agreement, despite the fact that thousands of the people from around the country has come with a high cost, with the problem of the problem in the country, 7 days paralyzing the all sector in the country, and then coming to a decision that he is not to sign, and he is now demanding that the U.S. should first ensure peace and security, which has been a challenge for Afghanistan, at least in its contemporary history, and that is not going to be happening in a minute. So I agree that he can have a demanding position from the U.S. And its allies, as long as it ensures the interests of the people of Afghanistan and the country. But I think he forgets that he is endangering and creating the risk for the future of the country. He is forgetting that the experience of the Soviets, who have been financing and providing aid for Afghanistan in 1980s, and once the aid stopped, the country was then moved into a civil war. And he also forgets that the consequence of withdrawal of the U.S. troops. Look at the example of Iraq, for instance, when they left, what happened. So if you want to have an army of, let's say, a statistic shows around 200,000 army and some 150,000 police, so how are you going to provide them with funding when you don't have resources? So I think it's going to be really problematic, and I hope in very near future, President Karzai should realize that Afghanistan is not in a position which could could push the United States further so that it follows or chooses the zero option and to leave completely the country.
Thank you, Mr. Sarojuddin Issar. We're going to take a short break. Stay with us. Welcome back to Center Stage. We're focusing on Afghan-US security deal and doubts still hanging over the issue with two guests in London. Mr. Spintane, would you please tell us why is Washington so determined? Why the urgency in Washington, in a sense, to get this deal through ASAP? Why can't it wait some 5 months until after the April's presidential election in Afghanistan?
Well, I think this is the way that, you know, both sides, they are in a way negotiating because, as you know, that this agreement was preparing for a long time and there was disagreements in a way. But now both sides, they are looking from their own benefits. And that's why now I believe that negotiations will be not, I mean, this is not the end of everything. And I believe that Afghanistan and American politics will come to the conclusion that they must be strategic partners as they've been for 12 years. And that's why, but on, there are few problems, because also you can see that the audience in their own country, you know, in America, they have few problems because they have they believe that if they want to stay in Afghanistan, it must have a framework. It must have the governments of America in its alliances must have seek a budget from their government. So these are their argument. That's why they want to speed it up. But in Afghanistan, Afghan government and the Afghan president has its own problem and concerns regarding this agreement, because President Karzai wants to show that it is the president of sovereign country, and this sovereignty is not in hands of foreigners, that whatever they demand, he can give up. So that's why, and also, as I mentioned to you earlier, the night's raids, which cause big problem in Afghanistan, and American, they cannot guarantee it, because again, you can understand it, because the Taliban, they seek you know, harbor in night time with their friends and someone else, and that's why when American come to bombard them or to arrest them, then there is outrages, and President Karzai is not happy again. So that's why the condition for the president is that you have to stop night raids in Afghanistan. You do not research Afghan houses. But on other hand, there was recently attack on Helmand, and civilians were killed. So that's why president was again not happy with that. And those kind of you know, negotiations, and sometimes difficult ones, cause problem for delaying the signature of BSA between two countries.
Thank you. Sarojuddin Issar in London, sir, would you shed some light on the ramification of this bilateral security agreement? For example, the regional repercussions of a long-term U.S. troop stay in the area?
I still could not hear you properly. I'm sorry that the sound or the voice is very broken.
Okay, I'll repeat the question. I like your thoughts on the regional ramifications, the regional repercussions of a long-term U.S. troop stay.
I think it's pretty obvious, and it doesn't seem to be so problematic. And if you look back to the history for a bit, you could see that in the post-Cold War era, when the transition of the superpower from Britain have shifted to the United States of America, so U.S. has continuously maintained a role, directly or indirectly, in Afghan politics as well as in Afghanistan political economy. We cannot forget the fact that the U.S. has been providing aid and assistance for some time for King Zahir Shah, as well as a bit for Dawood, and even by Mujahideen during the jihad in 1980. So US has kind of had this, it's a continued engagement in Afghanistan for so long in the history, and there are a number of reasons behind that kind of engagement. Number one, as our friend Mr. Spintan, I mentioned about the regional aspect of it, particularly the first of all would be the Russia's location, or let's say Russian existence in the region. Russia used to be one of the strong enemy of the U.S. for so long in their history, and Russia is again getting more powerful and powerful in terms of military as well as in terms of economy. So United States needs to stay somewhere to have a close watch its longtime enemy. And of course, look at the China, for instance. China, since 1978, has continuously managed to exceed its economic development and growth. Economists say that China maintained two-digit growth rate in GDP, gross domestic product, since 1978 when Mao died and the new leader came. So China has continuously been growing an economy, and that is the second economy of the world, and potentially is a very strong superpower in the region and the future, for which the US is very much concerned about. Of course, Iran's role cannot be ignored. Iran is now ignored. Nuclear enrichment issue is still a matter of concern for the US, which would like to have an eye on. And then, of course, India is becoming stronger, particularly in the last 10 and 20 years. And of course, we should not forget the fact that this region is a region where not only politically speaking, but also economically speaking, is so important. Access to Gulf, Persian Gulf, where oil is laying down, goes from here, as well as the Caspian Sea in Central Asia, is something that the U.S. since long time ago has been looking for. Remember about the UNICOL project. Remember about the TAPI, Turkmenistan, Afghanistan, Pakistan, and India gas pipeline that was even discussed and negotiated between the United States of America as well as between the Taliban in the 1990s. So these are all important for the U.S. and I believe that the despite the pressure from the from Afghan state, particularly the president, that's one of the reasons that the U.S. is tolerating all these demands of President Karzai.
Thank you, Mr. Issa. Mr. Spintana in London, sir. Hardly a week goes by without some Afghan civilians falling victim to U.S.'s deadly drone strikes. Can you tell us your thoughts on the U.S. policy of attacking Afghans under the pretext of fighting terrorism on the one hand and having entered the talks with the Taliban on the other? How do they match up?
Well, I believe America realizes, and NATO also realizes, that conflict like Afghanistan you cannot solve with just only weapons or just only fighting. So that's why they are now trying to find long-term and short-term solutions for the problem. The long-term solution is that they want to bring Taliban and its allies to share powering process. It means that they will continue to talk to the Taliban. As you can see, there were a few attempts by American to do so. And also Afghan government always say that, and there were again few cases that there were negotiations, but for obvious reason it was not fruitful. So on one hand, America wants to for a long term in Afghanistan for Afghanistan to become a secure and peaceful country. No one is able to do that by force only. So the only solution is to bring all sides of the conflict to the table of negotiations. But on the other hand, if you want to bring the opposition to the table of negotiation, you have to weaken them. And that's strategically very important for politicians and for the military. What's American are doing, and you can see that American, they killed many commanders of Taliban, not only in Afghanistan, but also in the other side of Durand line in Pakistan. And the recent examples we remember, Hakimullah Masood and then Baitullah Masood before, and then Hakimullah Masood and so on. And so America, on one hand, want to weaken the position of the Taliban, and also those people who hide in people's houses, who are really not in a way truly Afghans. They are mercenaries of neighbor countries, and they don't want Afghanistan to be a prosperous country. And doesn't matter whether Afghan or American or Islam or non-Islamic view of people who really think about the good Afghanistan, they are enemy of those elements in Afghanistan. So the rest of the people who are Afghan, who really wants to fight, let's say, invader in their view, they are the people that Afghanistan and also its ally America, they need to think about, and they need to bring them to the negotiation process. And I believe this is the only way that you can get peace and prosperity in Afghanistan. Otherwise, the conflict will continue for years to come. And that's not good for Afghans and for America and for no one, and also for region. So that's why America, on one hand, they have, as you mentioned, they dealing with those Taliban in a way that they kill them. But on the other hand, they want to have the door open for the peace process and for the chance for peace negotiations.
Thank you, Mr. Taney, in London. Before I go back to Sarojuddin Issa, we're going to take a short break. Don't go away. Welcome back to Center Stage. We're focusing on Afghan-US security deal, otherwise called the Bilateral Security Agreement, BSA. Mr. Sarojuddin Issar, President Karzai has so far refused to sign the deal, saying that it must wait after the 2014 Afghan presidential election, and Washington says it must be signed ASAP. Who is going to win this battle of wills, as it were, in view of the fact that Karzai has alluded to the fact that he's being pressured into signing the deal?
Well, I think it's not a matter of who wins and who loses. It's very much to do with who ensures more interests than the other. My belief is that Afghanistan, if Afghanistan does not sign, first of all, it will be a lose-lose approach. While if it signs it with delays, that's another argument which may be very controversial. But I believe that the more it delays it, the more problem it would be for the people of Afghanistan, as well as for the state. As I was saying, Afghanistan in the past has been dependent on aid. And Afghanistan at the moment is also dependent on the aid. And if Afghanistan is not signing this BSA or bilateral security agreement sooner than later, then there is the problem of risking and endangering the shrinking of the aid, which has already been started in Afghanistan. You cannot run an army when you have no money to fund it. So I'm very surprised how President Karzai is kind of demanding where his budget is completely financed. It's his development budget is completely financed by the aid and assistance, particularly from the U.S., and also its operating budget is partly financed by foreign assistance and aid. But of course, on the U.S. side, we should not forget the fact that the U.S. has already lost over 2,000 of its troops, and of course, a capital of some $600 billion equivalent was it spent or invested in Afghanistan. So it's the U.S. would also not easily kind of sit back and say, okay, we will leave, and without ensuring some of our national, regional, and of course, global interest in the country.
Thank you, Mr. Issa. Mr. Spintane, give us your thoughts. What does future hold for the nation of Afghanistan, in view of the fact that the United States, the U.S. troops, have there are legitimate questions over the respect they have for the sovereignty of Afghanistan, in view of the night raids, the deadly drone strikes, the killing of hundreds of innocent civilians, which had nothing to do with terrorism, and the value actually they hold for Afghan lives. What does the future hold for this country, with or without this deal?
Well, I believe Afghanistan is now in a very difficult position these days. On one hand, it is really, as my honorable friend mentioned, it is really depends on the foreign aids, which is in one way good, because Afghanistan is not able to maintain its security forces, and America decided that after BSA being signed, it will get $4 billion for its security trainings, and plus $4 billion in aid, which comes to $8 billion a year, which is really a lot of money. But on other hand, Afghanistan is a sovereign country, and it has its own constitution, and constitution says the president of the country is a man who is in charge of signing this deal. So, again, whether President Karzai or any Afghan president in the future, if they are dictated the conditions of the agreement, I believe they will not be happy to sign it. So this is the case with the President Karzai, that he says that whether myself or the next president, by the way, he has not never, he's never said that the presidential election will be postponed, or he is trying to avoid signing an agreement and it will be delayed for years and years. What he's saying is that he is in charge of the country and this country is independent, and if the other countries are dictating their conditions, he is not happy to do so. One of them is that he came to conclusion that Americans and foreign forces, they can bring security to Afghanistan. They cannot intervene the electoral process, elections, which is not be delayed by the Afghan government, and they always denies it, and it will be scheduled for April next year. So what I mean is that, yes, on one hand, Afghans will be suffering from this, but on the other hand, you cannot jeopardize the constitution of the country and the sovereignty of the country, especially the minus point of this foreign drone, the foreign aid, is that Afghanistan became addicted to this aid, and now Afghans are more lazy in a way, and they don't want to do what they were doing 20 years ago, 30 years ago, because they were trying or relying on themselves.
Okay,
but
Mr.
now
Tane.
They rely on foreign aids, and that is not good for the Afghanistan.
Thank you. With those comments, we've come to the end of this edition of Central Stage. Time to bring it to an end. A special thanks to our guest joining us via Skype was Sarojuddin Issar, Afghan political analyst and PhD researcher in political economy at London School of Oriental and African Studies. Mr. Issar, thank you for having taken part, sir.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. And in our London studio was Spintane, journalist and analyst at BBC World Service. Mr. Spintane, it was a pleasure having had you on our program, sir.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And that's a wrap for this edition. We hope that it's the Afghan nation which gets the best of this particular deal. Good night and God bless.